statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, given much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Of holies, as was sung. Let's commit our time before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is your gathering, this is your people, this is your time of which we lay aside to come in unity and oneness with clean hands and a pure heart into your presence. Father, in your mercy and grace, cause each of us to hear your word, not just in the head, but in the heart, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, praise God. The Lord's good, is he not? And there is always something to learn from Almighty God. As usual, I have a title for us to consider. And we're calling our teaching today, Don't Lose Sight of the Bigger Picture. Don't lose sight of the bigger picture. If the enemy can't destroy us, he will try and hinder our vision, our greatness of seeing Almighty God. You see, the attack often, for those who are going on deeper with the Lord, is that he tries to get our eyes off the kingdom of God. And the alternative, of course, is the kingdom of self. And that will always keep us inward looking, never outward looking, never understanding that God has a bigger picture in everything I say, I do, my walk. Every day with God, we will never see the bigness, the vastness of God. Why do I stress that? Because this is what quickens our faith in believing. If the enemy can keep us inward looking, our faith is narrow, limited, and you will never ever come into the real blessings that God has for us in this life. In actual fact, it's a waste of time even praying the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No point praying it. Because that prayer is to get our eyes away from circumstances, away from what we see, what we feel, what we're going through, what man is saying. It extends us beyond this world into heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Because that is where we are. That is where the church sits and will soon visibly be sitting there when the enemy is cast out. So until then, we press in and we must not lose sight of the bigger picture. You see, God is always trying to get us to see that bigger picture than just the kingdom of self. And one of the finest ways of which he gets our attention is the trials and the testings that we go through each day. And we are, all of us, if we are meaning business with God and we are truly filled with the Spirit, we are going through trials of some sort or whatever it is. And they are always tailor-made because it is to work in you to see the bigger picture. In actual fact, of course, that picture, the goal of that picture is Jesus Christ himself. But when you see Jesus, you see his kingdom. You see, you can't separate anything from seeing Jesus. He is our vision. He is our goal. And when you see him, you see everything that pertains to him, including his love and grace and mercy and so on. That's why, you see, our trials and testings are to get our eyes on the Lord and not on ourselves. You see, that doesn't really make any sense to us, does it? Because Satan tries to suggest to us that our trials keep us locked into ourselves. We're looking at the problem, the circumstances. We're looking how negative it is. We're seeing how large the mountain is. It's impossible to remove. That's exactly what he wants you to do. And that is why God allows these trials, because it is our deliverance. That's why God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Because logically, intellectually, that doesn't make sense. But as we begin to grasp the bigger picture, we begin to realize that our trials and our tests have a bigger meaning and purpose to them. It's called, everything works together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. In other words, his plan. Romans 8. It's always a bigger picture. Are you going through a trial at this time or this season? Then speak out to the powers of darkness. This is a bigger picture. This is God's perfect plan for my life. This is for the glory of God. This is my way of deliverance. Defy the enemy. Defy what you see, what you feel, what you hear. I have sorely been tested this week on this very thing that I am sharing with you. Praying in the Spirit, pressing in, binding up the powers of darkness. Because the enemy has got in into the mind and oppressing. And is very vocal and very loud. But of course, that's always the big giveaway, isn't it? When the enemy becomes very loud and very vocal and he's trying to oppress you, that is a clear sign you are on the verge of a breakthrough. Else why would he do it? He's not going to bother with those who are deluded and deceived, who give in on every trial. That's why we're called overcomers, pressing in, taking the kingdom, if need be, by force. That is what it means. I'm taking the kingdom by force because I want a vision of what is in that kingdom. And not only what is in it, but I want the blessings from that kingdom. And I'm not going to let anything or anyone deter me from those blessings. That's what it means to take it by force. That's how it reads in the Greek. And some do and some don't. It's like your own house. You are not going to let thieves or robbers come in. You are going to protect it. Well, how much more than with us? And yet we let the enemy in, robbing us of our inheritance that we have, that pertains to the kingdom of God. We are at times our own worst enemy. However, God uses the trials to work this bigger picture within us and within his body and within FGA. That's why I spoke the other week on the apostle when he said, God has laid hold of me. I've laid hold of him and he's laid hold of me. He's got me firm. He's gripped me. That's the mercy and grace of God. Do you still keep coming? Do you still keep listening to the word of God? Are you still looking to him, crying out to him? Are you still confessing your confession of faith? Take comfort, brothers and sisters. That is God that's laid hold of you. He's gripped you. And he ain't going to let you go. What a blessing this is, if we did but know it. And it's the same not only in our lives individually, but it's the same in the body of Christ. Why? Because Jesus is our chief cornerstone. We stand upon his foundation. And I want to look at, for a while, at the body, how the body functions, what God is doing with us on a corporate level. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll start up with verses 19 to 22. Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22. And it speaks here, as I've just said, of Christ, who is our cornerstone. And he says, now, therefore, you are no longer strangers, foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. There's our unity, our oneness. That is what should make us feel and understand that we are wanted, we are chosen in Christ, we are God's family. I am with my brothers and sisters who love me and care for me and pray for me, who have the Father's heart within their heart. That is the unity and oneness of our body. I can only speak of FGA, but that's what God is doing around the world, those who are going on like we are in faith. We're not strangers. We're not foreigners. We're not outcasts. That is not what the unity and oneness of the Spirit is about. We have love, care, and attention for each other and pray one for another for that true unity and oneness of the Spirit. Why? Because God first loved us. And our foundation that we stand upon is Jesus Christ. What it cost him. But we're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So he gives us an insight, because we are seated in heavenly places with Christ, that we are citizens of all the saints of the household of God, all that have trod and gone before. All these saints, these names that we read about in the Bible, John, Paul, Matthew, Mary, all these saints, these names who are already there in the glory of God, in God's presence. We are of the household of God. Those who've gone on before, those who in FGA who've now gone on before, who are now in Christ. We're all of the household of God. We're just not seeing them for a while, but we're going to be united again together. That's what it means. That's why we have that comfort. That even when a brother or sister does go to the Lord, we know that's only temporary. Because here the Lord's saying it clearly. We're members of the household of God. having been built on the foundation of the apostle prophet Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now that doesn't mean that God has done away now with the apostle and prophets. He's not. It simply means what it's built upon. Christ, who himself fulfilled all those offices. Jesus is the chief cornerstone because he was an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He had the whole of the gifts in operation. That's what it's meaning. And we see in his earthly ministry those functions, those offices that were coming out, that were preparing the foundation of the church in which to be built. He was revealing the mystery of the body of Christ being now revealed through him. And the Apostle Paul, he takes that up so that he reveals it to the Gentiles who are now grafted in. You see, having been built on the foundation of the apostle prophet Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. It's done by the Spirit. Not by the law. It's done by the Spirit. And that is why Christ is head over us. And we are worshippers of God in spirit and in truth. How can you organize all of this? How can you make a denomination out of it? How is it we have the Harlot Church, the Roman Catholic, or the Anglican, or whatever it would be? That is a deception, a counterfeit of the devil. You can't get that when you read this. This is revealing the foundation of the church. It's spiritual, but it's visibly seen. How is it visibly seen? By you and I. The body of Christ is made up of human beings, not brick and mortar. We've got it so wrong. And that's why we have a counterfeit, you see. I said to you, God wants you to see the bigger picture. And he knows how to open our ears and eyes and heart to all of this. And this is why it's received by revelation. God, open your eyes to this. Else you would just be in a dead denomination, an organization of man as head. God brought you out of it and set you apart. The apostle carries on with this. Look at this in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already. So it was made known to him. He couldn't receive that revelation yet until Christ had become the chief cornerstone. The foundation had to be laid, with him fulfilling those five office ministries that would continue now through man. And this rubbish that they say today, oh, the apostle is no longer needed today. You have to make that one up. It just comes out of unbelief. It's nonsense. Those ministries still continue through the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ himself. And he empowers and anoints those office ministries. And those five office ministries will always guide you and lead you and keep you on that foundation. because those ministries are not trying to build their own empire, their own kingdom, out of self. They have had a revelation of this foundation, and they see that it is Jesus Christ and him alone. And that is what I build on. That is what I build on in my ministry for the sake of the gospel and the saints, so that they are always pointed to that foundation they stand upon, you see. They are just some of the clear signs that you test in a minister. Is what I'm hearing helping, encouraging me to stand upon that chief cornerstone, whose name is Jesus? His foundation, is that what this is doing? Or is it pointing me to his ministry, his organization, his ideas? Self, in other words. You know, when it's presented like this, it's not as hard as it seems. But how the devil comes in and he tries to trick us. And he will always appeal to your pride, yourself. The Holy Spirit never does that. Self can't walk this. Self can't glorify in this. That's why I always keep saying, flesh doesn't like this. Never has and never will. And only the cross can deal with the flesh. It crucifies it so that we can receive this wonderful word by faith, by the Spirit, building us, exhorting us, encouraging us in the faith, in the unity and oneness of the Spirit. So the Apostle Paul says, by the grace of God, he received this. By revelation, it was made known to him. By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So as he's writing out by the Spirit these epistles, they will understand by the Spirit the mystery of Christ that's now being revealed, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. That's why, you see, they have a great understanding and insight of Christ's body. And they are able to preach and teach this. In other words, to encourage you, to help you to know the foundation that you stand upon. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promises in Christ through the gospel, of which I become a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. So the Apostle Paul was always very, very aware of the power, this effective power working on his behalf. He could not and would not boast in any of it, you see. You reveal the mystery of the body of Christ as you remain faithful, coming together in unity and fellowship. You are revealing this mystery, me made known by the Spirit, you see. That's why each of us is so vital, as we are set in the body, baptized into it by the Spirit. What does he say in verses 9 to 13? And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So this was created before the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ. His body was to be revealed, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities, powers in heavenly places. That is why our prayers, supplications are effective. Because through Christ, we are making known to the powers, principalities, to the very devil himself, the power of the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is what you are being made known as you pray God's kingdom into being. That's why it's so important to be baptized in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit, as well, of course, as the understanding. The enemy hates it. Why? Because it's dividing his kingdom. It's exposing him as a fraud, as he is, as a thief, as a robber, as a liar, you see. According to the internal purpose which he accompanied in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness, access, with confidence through faith in him. Do you not find as we are talking about this, we're opening up on this, do you not pick up that quickening in the Spirit, that boldness? God has given this to me through Jesus Christ for me to use. I am no longer going to cower away, but I'm going to move forth in boldness, in faith, by his power and strength. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And that's why he wrote to them. He said, don't lose heart because of the trials and tribulations. What is he saying there in many words? He's saying, saints in Ephesus, and whoever reads this epistle, see the bigger picture. That's what he's saying. And our trials and tribulations reveal the bigger picture. They are to work this confidence, this faith, this boldness. That's what it's to do. And it does. And some of it comes when you say, enough is enough. This has gone on for too long. I've allowed this to happen. But no more. I am rising up, not in my strength and power of might, but in the power and strength and might of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. I am now going to make this known to the powers, principalities, dominions. And I'm going to take authority and I'm going to bind this in Jesus' name. And loosen his warring angels into this situation. Loosen his healing, his deliverance. It's not just binding, it's loosening as well. That is what pertains to the kingdom of God. You are bringing in force what is established in God's kingdom. And that is why sometimes he allows these trials to bring us to the end when enough is enough. There are times when it becomes a cat and mouse game. Have you seen cats, how they like to play with mice? They torture them. That's what they do. And that's what the enemy does with you. He plays with you. He tries to torture you. He tries to confuse you, belittle you. He makes fun of you before God. He's the accuser of the brethren. And God says, stay with it. Keep coming. Keep listening. And you'll realize what's going on. And you'll rise up then in the power and might of God. Enough. No more. He's nothing but a thief and a robber and he steals. And I ain't going to let him do it any longer. You see? That is why we have trials, tribulations, many of which is to get you to the end of yourself when there's no more of you and you come to that place, enough. And I know God's doing it with some of you because he's doing it with me. That's how I know. That's how we break through, brothers and sisters. I tell you, the enemy trembles when FGA comes together for their meetings under the anointing. Paul saw the bigger picture in his trials, and you have got to see the bigger picture in your trials. And if you're all caught up in self and self-pity, poor me? Why does this always keep happening to me? You are held by that. Trust me, I've been there. I'm speaking from experience out of this as well. This is why the body is so vital. This is why our meetings are so important. And this is why the devil tries to attack. He tries to stop us. He doesn't want us meeting. And we can be the hindrance of stopping the body meeting. We have homes. God's blessed us with homes. God's blessed me with a home. The reason I'm not having saints here is because some can't make it. That's why. Because I want us all to be together as brothers and sisters. That is where the power lies, in the meetings. And boy, the devil knows it. But he wants us to know that. Oh, there'll come a place when God will provide. Pray for some of your brothers and sisters that God will provide cars for them so that they can come to these meetings. Because sadly, public transport is not reliable. And then we can get together also in true unity and fellowship and oneness. And praise God that we can and we do come on the internet. So we're not saying that all is lost. Look how God uses technology, because some of you are right the other side of the world. But when we can get together in the flesh, there's so much more power present. That's the point, you see. We're talking today about the body of Christ, the mystery, the foundation, Jesus Christ, whom we stand upon. You see. And that's why at present there is such a problem around the world with regard to the body of Christ. I've always said it and I'll continue to say it. The understanding of the body of Christ is the least understood in Christendom. Many don't understand its function. And you know why? Because they don't understand my presence, my being there, my prayers, my praying for my brothers and sisters, God using me for the gifts is part of the body. And it's important. This is why we're called a royal priesthood. Not just one being the head priest or whatever. All of that's done away with now. Our head priest, if you like, is Jesus. We all come to function in whatever way or capacity the Lord leads and guides. And I know that that is limited when we are online like this. It cannot be quite the same as when you are literally, physically together. I'm very aware of that. But it is vital that you are baptized into the unity and oneness of the Spirit. And this is why I make so much about the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit is not just to speak in tongues, as vital as that is. It's an empowerment with the gifts of the Spirit, which help for the body of Christ. But the baptism is God's empowerment in you, helping to build his body. There you go. That's come by the Spirit. Didn't know that before. Thank you, Father. Your empowerment by the Spirit is helping building this body and any other body where believers who are baptized and filled with the Spirit. What for? For fellowship with Christ and each other. For the purpose that he will be manifested amongst us. I pray every time for our meetings that he will manifest himself to us and through his word. That is my prayers and intercessions. I pray that particularly when we're online, because I believe that's so powerfully important, because we can't always meet in the flesh. But that Christ will manifest himself to you through this word, you see. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 12? 1 Corinthians 12, 11 to 14. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. There you are. It's exactly what I've just been saying. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. There you are. So we have the many-membered bodies around the world, those who truly been called out, those who are delivered from denominationalism, tradition, all those things, that bondage. He says he has the many-membered bodies, but you are of the one body, which is Jesus Christ. Of course he is, because we've been talking about he's the chief cornerstone. And on that chief cornerstone are all the many-membered bodies functioning. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew, Greek, whether slave, free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. There you go. And that is why I'm a believer and a stickler. It doesn't matter what, where you're from, what your education is, what nationality you are, whatever it would be, if you're filled with the Spirit, then it's a spiritual gathering into one body. And he says it, whether Jew or Greek, because the Jews regarded the Greeks as dogs, unclean. So he's really sticking his neck out and saying, you're now, you Jews, are going to fellowship and have oneness with those whom you used to call dogs, unclean. And we still can have those mindsets. And we see it going on today in some churches. Oh, this is an Asian church. Oh, this is a black church. Or this is an Italian church, or whatever it is. I've seen them around. I've heard it said through believers. Little understanding of what it really means. For in fact, the body is not one members, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of this body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? In other words, what he's saying here, if you believe God's called you to be an eye, to watch, then you are still part of that body that God has baptized you into. And that doesn't make you any different. You are part of that because you're going to find that there's hands, there's feet, there's a mouth, and so on. Don't think that you are just the only one. You're an eye, and there's nobody else. What's he dealing with here? He's dealing with that spiritual pride, that independence that a lot of ministers have. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? And so on. Exactly what I've just said. But now God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as he pleased. I counted it in my ministry and office a privilege when we had brothers would get up and preach and teach the word. I sat under that anointing to learn. And that is what it's about. We've got ministers today who can't learn from other ministers because they're proud. They think they know all their theology. And they don't. Even the apostle himself, when went back to his church in Asia, he simply sat there with the rest of them. And he said, I am the least of the apostles. And yet look at the anointing. No other apostle has had such an anointing. Because he saw the bigger picture. And if they were all one members, where would the body be? Where would it be? It wouldn't be in the four corners of the earth, where God wants to plant his body, his church. And that is what an apostle will do. He has that wherewithal in which to plant a church. Sometimes in the office ministries, sometimes God can use you in a sort of apostolic way. And I say this with all the humility that God grants me. I experienced that in Africa when God used me to plant assemblies. I didn't know what was going on. It wasn't until years later I'm looking back at all of this and realize what was working through me. That's why I've always said when I go from the assembly, in this assembly, I function as a pastor teacher. But when I go from this assembly and invited to other places or abroad, it's a different anointing on me because I'm not functioning any longer as a pastor. I have functioned in the capacity of an apostle. It's quite different. I have never said this. This is the first time I've ever brought this out after all these years of over 40 years of ministry. There's always a right time for everything because we're dealing about the bigger picture. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, these members of the body, which seem to be the weaker, are necessary. You are more important than I am. You're much more needed in that sense. I simply point you in the right direction so that you draw that power that is established in the kingdom of God, that you can come boldly into God's presence and make your requests known, and that your prayers will stand before him. That's what we're called to do. I'm called to do. And this is why I've been so burdened over the years, because so little is understood of Christ's body. But I've had the privilege of being able to share and teach this as the Spirit leads. And I'm sure if the Lord tarries, there's going to be much, much more that God, I believe, will use me for, in which to teach on this, the true body of Jesus Christ. And when your eyes are open to this, you just are amazed. It's just so wonderful and exciting that God has, out of all the millions and myriads of people, he's called me to this in this last day. This is why I keep saying we're in the times of restoration. We're being restored. We're being brought back under apostolic power and anointing, ready to be empowered. Because so much of Christendom is so confused, sadly. And we've got today this false shepherding, this false five-fold ministry, where they're holding the people in bondage. Well, as we bring this to a conclusion, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 4. The elders who are among you are exhort you. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonor, gain, but eagerly. In other words, don't in any way allow any other spirit other than the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and teach God's people. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. In other words, don't control them. Don't give them false hope, false promises, which you hear all too often. And when the chief shepherd appears, that's Jesus, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So there's a crown laid up for the overcomers who aren't under this bondage. The control of man, the deception of man. The trouble is today, we have a lot of teaching and you listen to it. Yes, it's good. But you find there's a degree of poison that is attached to it. And that is the problem. And if there's a degree of poison, that poison is going to hold you in bondage. We don't have to try at any of this. This is why God, as I close now, he wants us to yield over to him. He, the builder of his body, will build through you and me. All he wants is empty vessels, yielded, who look to Jesus, the author, finisher of their faith, and allow the Spirit to build his body, to restore it again in these last days through us. And you are the people he's doing it through. Take comfort. Take encouragement for that. Don't ever feel, what use am I? You are of great value because God is building his kingdom, his church through you, that one day is going to be manifested and revealed to groaning creation. That's why So there we are. Don't lose sight of the bigger picture.
Of God.